As the Strong Tower basketball team departs. As you came up the walkway this morning, did you notice our new flags outside? Red, yellow, brown, black, and white. We are all precious in His sight. Amen. Turning your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. As we continue talking about prayer. Last week, we focused on pray, Daniel, pray. Next week, we'll talk about pray, Paul and Silas, pray. And then we'll talk about pray, church, pray. But today, pray, mama, pray. Can I do that? Can I preach that? Pray, mama, pray. Let's pray together. Father, you said if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then you would hear from heaven. You would forgive our sin and you would heal our land. Father God, we humble ourselves in your presence and we acknowledge that you are King, you are Lord, you are God, you are the Most High. And we thank you that you have regard for the lowly. And thank you that you, out of love for us, sent your Son to earth, wrapped him up in human flesh. He left the portals of glory to come down and suffer for our sin debt. Thank you that he paid it in full with his blood, with his life. Thank you for those of us who have trusted you. We are not guilty. We are not condemned. In fact, Lord, we've been forgiven and accepted and set free. And we thank you for changing our life. We thank you that the gospel is not just about us going to heaven, but it's about you giving us a new life, even an abundant life. We thank you for mercies that are new every morning because you know our frame. You know that we're dust, even though we're born again. I thank you, God, that you are faithful as we sang this morning because we are not faithful. Father, if there's someone watching online or even in the house today who doesn't have a relationship with you, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them because you're not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And as we talk today, Lord, about the prayers of our mothers, one reason we're here today is because our mothers prayed for us. We thank you for their prayers. May we learn from this wonderful sister in the text today to invigorate our own personal prayer lives like never before. We honor you and we thank you in advance for the great things that will come as a result of your word going forth in spite of the preacher. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask it. Amen. Pray, mama. Pray. Well, growing up in my grandfather's church on Poplar Grove Street in Baltimore, Maryland, we sang many old school songs, the hymns, and even some of the spirituals. And one of those songs we used to sing was, "Somebody Prayed for Me." Some of y'all know that, right? Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed. They took the time to pray for me. And then they would say, the preacher prayed for me. He had me on his mind. He took the time to pray for me. And they would go on. Then the third verse would go, my mother prayed for me. Had me on her mind. She took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad she prayed. I'm so glad she prayed. She took the time to pray for me. And just in case those prayers didn't get through, the last stanza said, my Jesus prayed for me. He had me on his mind. He took the time to pray for me. I'm so glad he prayed. Is anybody glad Jesus prayed for you? Amen. Amen. Because in John chapter 17, before he goes to the cross, he not only prays for the disciples, but he prays for those of us who will believe on him through their ministry and through their word. And he prayed for us. He prayed for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. And even right now at the right hand of the Father, he lives to make intercession for us. Prayer is so important that Jesus is in heaven right now praying for you and praying for me. So it would behoove all of us to get busy living a life of prayer. One thing about that song I noticed when we were growing up, when they would say, the preacher prayed, my mother prayed, Jesus prayed, they never said, my father prayed for me. I don't know, like, what's up with that? Do fathers not pray? Well, I believe the closest thing to the love of God is the love of a mother. Amen. I believe that the closest thing to the love of God is the love of a mother. Why? Because both Jesus, who is God, and our mothers shed blood that we might have birth. Oh, you missed that. You missed that. Both shed blood that we might be born into this world and even into the world to come. The closest thing to the heart of God is the heart of a mother. And Abraham Lincoln knew that well, our 16th president of the United States. Here's what he said about his mother. He said, all I am or can be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They clung to me all my life. He said, I remember my mother's prayers. But then gospel music sensation Helen Baylor also talks about prayers, not from her mother, but from her grandmother. Because there was a time before Helen Baylor started singing gospel, she was singing R&B. And as she was out in the world, she got introduced to marijuana, then various pills, cocaine, promiscuity, having children out of wedlock. She was on a fast track to hell. You let her tell it in Helen's Testimony, which is one of her songs. But in that song, as she's talking about all the things that were going wrong in her life, she said, but I had a praying grandmother. So as far as she kept straying and straying, she was always reminded that she had a praying grandmother. And in her testimony, she talks about the man who would deliver drugs to her, that they ended up dating and whatnot. And then once Helen came to Jesus, God saved the drug dealer, and she and the drug dealer are married and still married to this day. And she said, I had a praying grandmother. And I know a lot of us can identify with that. This past Monday of this week, one of our own young people, Roman Steele, was running track right down the road at Christ Presbyterian Academy, and he collapsed. Roman is an eighth grader. He collapsed. He had a cardiac arrest. And for those of you who've been at Strong Tower for a number of years, you know that we prayed for Roman not long after he was born because he had an irregular heart situation. And God healed him in that moment. And so he collapsed. But here's how God works. Abraham Lincoln talked about his mother being like an angel. People can be like angels, because when he collapsed on that Monday, not far away was a parent who happened to be a medical doctor, who was able to give him CPR, which we just trained about last week. Pastor Felicia had us learning about that for our own children. And that was one of the things God used to save his life. And so he went to the hospital. A lot of prayer went up for him and for their family. And he's doing well. He's doing fine. He's going to have a procedure tomorrow morning, where they're going to put a pacemaker into him. And in a couple of days, they're also going to put, I never pronounced this word well, that. They're going to put one of those in there too. So we want to continue to pray for the Steele family. But one of the things I know about Roman is that he has a mother who prays, and he also has a father who prays. Oh, boy, thank God. You see, the prayers that our mothers have offered for us have been the difference between our lives, or let me say this, have been the difference between life and death. Because she prayed, we're alive. Because she prayed, we did not see death. And as long as our children are alive, there is hope. They may not be where we want them to be, but with the living, there is hope. And mama is still praying for you. Well, to illustrate the power of being persistent in prayer, Jesus gave his disciples and the Pharisees a parable about a persistent widow. Let me repeat that. To illustrate the power of being persistent in prayer, Jesus gave his disciples and the Pharisees a parable of a persistent widow. Because when Jesus would minister, there would be people in the crowd who loved him and adored him, and then there would be people in the crowd who could not stand him. He had detractors and he had supporters. He had saints and he had ain'ts, all these people listening to him. But he continued to preach on. And when he tells this parable about a widow, I love how Jesus, he's a master teacher. Because he would talk about real life things in spite of what was going on in a culture that would be anti. For instance, he's going to tell a parable that we're about to read right now of a widow that he's going to highlight and prop up as the hero of this story. When in that culture, widows were not looked up to. Matter of fact, women were not looked up to in these male-dominant societies where there were unhealthy hierarchical structures. Jesus would promote women. He would also promote children. And he would tell adults, unless you become like a child, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. He would uplift the poor in his stories and in his teachings, because many times they would just push to the margins of society, but Jesus would bring them right back in through his teaching, whether you wanted to hear it or not. And he would also talk about those people called Samaritans, and he would highlight them as the hero of his parables. So he's doing it again, very intentional with how he would minister to his people, the disciples, and the Pharisees, his enemies. So when we come to Luke chapter 18, the Bible reads as follows. Then, oh, I got to stop right there. One word, I got to stop. Luke 18:1 starts with the word then. Then is a continuation from what happened in the previous chapter, chapter 17. And in that chapter, the Pharisees in particular asked Jesus about the kingdom of God and when it would come. And he began to let them know that the kingdom of God is not only coming, but it is among you. As a matter of fact, the kingdom of God is among you because the king is here, but the Pharisees did not acknowledge Jesus as the king of the Jews, or any kind of king for that matter. So he's saying the kingdom is now, and it's not yet. It's here, and it's coming. But you guys are missing it because you're looking for a kingdom that is going to be militaristic. You are missing the kingdom right now because you're looking for a national kingdom where the Jewish people will be the head and no longer the tail. Well, you will be on top over the Romans and everyone who persecuted you. You're looking for the natural kingdom and you're missing the spiritual kingdom. You're looking for the lion, but the lamb is right in front of you. So he begins to tell them about the coming, his second coming, while he's there in their midst. And he talks about the day of the Lord, and he begins to talk about the times of Noah and the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, that people were partying and doing whatever they wanted to do, and then judgment came upon them. And he said, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. And so he had just finished speaking on this and speaking of the need for people to have faith in him. A faith that will persevere to the end and not give up. A faith that would trust God even when you didn't understand what was going on in the world, but you would trust God, look to God, depend on God, rely on God, unlike the people in the generation of Noah and Lot. Lot's wife, Jesus says, she turned back. We don't want to be those people. We're pressing on. So in order to continue to break down this theological dogma, he says, let me tell y'all a story about persistence. So it says in verse 1, then he spoke a parable to them. What is a parable? A parable is a simple story with a spiritual meaning. It's a simple story with a spiritual meaning, but sometimes we overinterpret parables. And we try to make them line up with every nuance of biblical theology, and we stretch the parable and we miss the meaning. It's a simple story with a spiritual meaning. Don't miss the meaning that he's trying to get to because you're trying to make it fit into a theological box. It doesn't always work like that. Get the meaning. So he's going to tell them a simple story. And the Bible goes on to say that he's telling this parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So the New King James Version says that men always ought to pray. But then he's going to tell a story about a woman who's persistent. Again, I love Jesus' sense of humor. I love his intentionality. I love his inclusivity of people who have been excluded. And he's going to tell this parable that they ought to pray and not lose heart, because as you're waiting for the king to return, it's tempting to lose heart. You've been praying and it's like, where is he? How long is he going to wait until he returns? And so many will give up, many will faint. But he's saying, let me tell you this parable so that you might pray and not lose heart. The word pray there is in the present tense, which means that prayer is to be continuous. Keep on praying. So prayer is to be continuous. That's the action. But also prayer is to be persistent. That's the attitude. In other words, I'm not letting go. I'm like a Doberman with a pork chop. I'm not letting go. I think it was Jacob who said when he was wrestling with Jesus in the Old Testament, he says, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. So prayer is to be continuous and persistent. It is an action and an attitude. Some of us have the action where we keep going and we're praying. We're going through the motions. Yeah, we pray every day, but where's the attitude? Where's the heart? Where's the persistence at? That you got to get a hold of the hem of his garment, like the lady who had the issue of blood. She said, if I can just touch something that's touching him, that's persistence. And Jesus said, who touched me? I want that. When I get to heaven, I want to hear the Lord say, Chris, you had that kind of prayer where you got a hold of me in the midst of everything going on. And I turned and I stopped and I ministered to you. I just don't want to be going about the motion of praying without having the attitude of persistence in my prayer. And so he's going to tell this story to them. Don't lose heart. Don't give up while you're praying. In verse 2, he said there was a certain city, or rather there was in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. That's a hard thing when you have people in places of power who don't respect God and who don't respect people. This is another way of saying in this story that this judge was evil. He was an evil man. But see, this is why when Jesus, now he's about to introduce the widow, we have to have persistence in prayer, because whenever we pray, there will be resistance. He's about to introduce this widow. He's telling you about this judge who doesn't care about God, doesn't care about people. In other words, there is going to be resistance from him. And because there is resistance, you have to have persistence. So look at her example as we continue on in this parable. He says he didn't regard man or fear God. Verse 3, now there was a widow in that city. Now here's the deal. When Jesus would tell parables, these simple stories with a spiritual meaning. He would use a method in Hebrew speech of comparison and contrast. That's part of getting the message, because he's comparing the judge to this widow here. And when we keep digging deeper into this, the Bible says that this widow, she came to the judge saying, "Get justice for me against my adversary." That's what we're supposed to do, go to courts to get justice for us from our adversaries. Well, justice is the concept that all people should be treated rightly, fairly, impartially by the law, and by those who enforce it. That's what justice is. It's the concept that all people should be treated rightly, fairly, impartially by the law and by those who enforce the law. But injustice is when certain people get treated unrightly, unfairly, and with partiality by the law and by those who enforce it. God cannot stand injustice, because all people are created in his image and worthy of respect and honor. All people, whether you know Jesus or not. Justice is a common grace and not just a specific grace for Christian people. God is a God of justice. His throne is built on justice, or doing what is right. So when there is injustice and there are imbalanced scales, and some people get favor and others get disfavor, God does not like that. He raised up the prophet Amos in the Old Testament to cry out against injustice that was being perpetrated, not by people out in the world, the surrounding nations, but by God's own people, Israel. How they were mistreating the widows, the poor, and the orphans. And that's why he rose up and said, "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like a mighty stream." Because justice, doing right, righteousness, they go hand in hand. So this widow is asking this judge for justice against her adversary. But first, let me call your attention again to the contrast in these two characters in this story. One has elite social status. The other is on the low rung of society. The judge has power. The widow is powerless. The judge, no doubt, is rich, not only from his pay, but also from bribes. But the widow, no doubt, is poor. The judge is unjust, because that's what Jesus is going to call him in a moment, implying the opposite, that the widow is just. The judge did not fear God, but the widow fears God. The judge did not regard people, but the widow regarded people, because we're going to see what she was trying to do in going to that judge and how it probably involved helping people in her own family. So let me ask this question. What did this widow need justice for in this story? Probably similar to the things that widows in our society now need justice for. The parable doesn't specifically tell us, but there are many clues in scripture to let us know what this widow may have been going through. This woman who had a husband, but he is now deceased. She doesn't have an advocate going before her. She's standing up on her own. And he would have overlooked her and bypassed her had it not been for her persistence. But what does the Bible say about widows? In Exodus chapter 22, verse 22, here are just some of the things. It says, "You shall not afflict a widow or a fatherless child." Look at that word, afflict. You have to be a pretty low down evil person to afflict a widow. But God had to put it in his word because he knew his people. And he knew they would afflict widows and fatherless children. Deuteronomy 24:17, "You shall not pervert justice due to the stranger." Uh-oh. You know we could camp there, right? Immigrants, the undocumented, in this so-called Christian nation. But you shall not pervert justice due to the stranger. Again, doing right by people. Or the fatherless. Here it is, y'all. Nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. Don't take her coat. Don't take her clothes. The things that she needs to keep herself warm at night. Don't take her garment as a pledge. Because now you're using justice, the halls of justice, against those who are most vulnerable. Job chapter 24, verse 3. Job said about the wicked, they drive away the donkey of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox as a pledge. How's she going to work her fields if she doesn't have an oxen? But you're taking someone who is destitute, making her even more destitute because of what you're taking from her. You're taking her cloak. You're taking her oxen. Proverbs 23, verses 10 through 11 in the New International Version. Do not move an ancient boundary stone. The boundary stone was there so that people would know their allotment of their land, how many acres they had, their fields. And so what people would do is they would move the boundary stone. So they had more land and the widow had less land. My God. So don't do that or encroach on the fields of the fatherless. This is an agrarian culture. They're growing everything to eat, to sell, everything. And so what these people would do is that they would encroach or intrude on the fields of the fatherless. Why are these guys fatherless? Because their daddy died and they're fatherless and their mother is a widow. And God is saying, don't take advantage of them because the man is not there. And God goes on to say, for their defender is strong, capital D. He will take up their case against you. Don't play with God on this. And if he don't deal with you in this life, the books are going to be open and the deeds that were done will be read from the books and it will even determine the level of punishment that people will have in the lake of fire. But the lake of fire is the lake of fire, whether you way down at the bottom or you just surfing at the top. I don't want to go, and thank God I'm not going because of Jesus. But then Matthew chapter 18, y'all, here it comes right here. This is Jesus talking, and he is giving another parable about a guy who was forgiven all of his debts. But then he went out and choked someone who owed him a little bit. And so the whole idea is forgive as you've been forgiven. God has forgiven you, so forgive others. God has forgiven us much. We are to forgive others of little. So he's telling this parable. And it says, and when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. So when you couldn't pay a debt back then, your family was collateral, your home, your land, everything was collateral. And they would even take your children if you couldn't pay the bill. And this is Jesus, again, talking about the times in which he lived in, where his audience understood what was going on. Now, we have creditors in our day, and these loan people, payday loans, scam folks, they seem to always set themselves up in low-income communities, and they have this exorbitant interest, and if you don't pay them, your credit gets messed up, all this over a toaster, and then, you know... But back then, they would take everything that you had, including your children. So where we're going with this is, this woman whose husband died, again, as Brother Jennings says in the book, The Christian Imagination, let me use my Christian imagination. Why is she going to this judge to get justice from her adversary? Perhaps, using my sanctified Christian imagination, that her husband had a debt that got his family in trouble that he could not pay off before he died. She inherited this. She worked, she worked, she worked to level that, to pay that debt off. But the adversary, the enemy, did not want to let her kids go. She had every right to get them. Or maybe the year of Jubilee popped up. You know, the seventh year when people are set free from their debts, let them go. And her children were not let go. So mama, the single parent, mama, the widow, went to the judge saying, get justice for me that I may get my children back. Because people will try to hold on. The devil will try to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus knew also, because the Pharisees were in his audience, and he knew of their relationship to widows, their reputation with widows. And hear my Jesus speaking prophetically to them when he says in Matthew 23:14, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Exclamation point. The Savior was raising his voice. Y'all a bunch of hypocrites. Why? For you devour widows' houses. You're supposed to help widows. But the preachers, the religious establishment, the syndicate, they're taking from widows. What are they trying to take? They're trying to take their land. It's about money. Power. Rather than blessing these homes and uplifting the downtrodden, they're going in, taking advantage, devouring them. Getting them to sell their home for pennies that they might gentrify the neighborhood. Yeah, yeah. So verse 4, she's saying, get justice, I want my family back. And he would not for a while. But afterward, and listen, and he would not for a while because maybe she wasn't coming with a bribe. He don't pay any, he doesn't regard people, let alone women. He wouldn't do it for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me. Translation, she getting on my last nerve. She's troubling me. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, persistence. She just didn't ask. She kept on asking for justice. Her continual coming got on his last nerve. And then he says, she weary me. Now, here's the humor in the culture and in the text. If you dig deeper into Greek language, saying that she wearies me literally means she's blackening my eyes. You know you get a black eye when someone hits you in your eye. He's saying this woman who is powerless, this woman who is possibly penniless, man, she whooping a knot upside my head. Man, I got these black eyes because she keep on coming. She keep on coming. She's staying persistent. She keeps on coming. And Jesus is saying to those men who are listening, you want to know how to pray? Pray like this woman. She's persistent. She doesn't pray and give up. She prays and she keeps going. She prays, she prays, she prays. So the words of the unjust judge, Jesus is going to say now. Look at verse 6. After he tells a story, he said, let me tighten y'all up with how y'all can apply this. He says, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Stop, y'all. God knows a lot of us been praying, even crying out day and night for a long time. He knows. But he doesn't want you to faint in your praying. He wants you to remain persistent regardless of the resistance. Men should pray. Women should pray. Children should pray and not faint, not give up. Sometimes it takes a long time. There's a woman in the Bible that had an issue of blood for 12 years. Another woman bent over, afflicted by the devil for 18 years. Abraham waiting on God for 25 years. Sometimes God just takes a long time. But let me say something to you to help you out here. I don't know, you might throw a shoe at me. But in verse 8, it says, I tell you that he, God, will avenge them speedily. Strong tower. God's speedily. And our speedily are two different speeds. You don't want to go with me. You don't want to say amen to that. But God speedily and our speedily, as we're waiting for this or trusting him for that, they're two different speeds. So God, help me to see this thing from your vantage point, because Jesus, you talked about bearing long and then speedily. I'm coming back soon. It's been 2,000 years. Help us, God. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, remember he was talking about that in chapter 17, when he comes. Now, Jesus is there, but he's talking about his second coming. The kingdom is here, and it's coming. He came as the lamb. He's coming as the lion. And he says, when the kingdom comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What's the proof of faith? That you're seeking God. That you're praying, you're persevering, you're seeking his face, you're not giving up, you're not a fair weather Christian, you're not a Sunday only saint, but you seek him, you love him, you need him, you want him. And Jesus is saying, when I return, am I gonna find people who have faith like that to persevere, even as we have seen this widow persevere? My God, may it be so with all of us, Lord. Well, let us learn from this widow about how to pray with persistence, how to keep seeking, how to keep asking, how to keep knocking. Some of us get so weary and burdened with what we're going through that we talk to God about it once and that's it. And sometimes he will meet us in that once, but sometimes he wants us to pray for an extended period of time because God is into the experience and not just the end result. He doesn't need anything, but he wants to fellowship with us. He allows troubles to come into our lives because that might be the only time we're going to talk to him, but may it not be the only time we talk to him. Because sometimes when we start talking to God and casting the burden on the Lord, and as we said last week, we'll listen to God and he'll speak to us and tell us everything is going to be all right. He wants that experience with us in prayer. And so sometimes we have to wait and we need to remain persistent in our prayers. Well, tomorrow morning, Strong Tower, starts 21 days of prayer. We've never done this as a church in our near 29 years where we've done something like this. I'm so excited because I've asked you, I picked 21 of you to write a devotional that we will send out every day for the 21 days, written by our own people. And in it, there will be a prayer focus so that as a church, we will be praying on the same situation together, among other things. And let me tell you something, y'all. You want to see God move? Start praying. When we start praying, and that's why the devil doesn't mind you getting knowledge. Because we live in a world where there's a whole lot of knowledge, but not too much wisdom. Quoting Bible, but not living Bible. But when you get in God's presence and you pray and you rest in his presence, you sit in his presence, you talk to him, you worship him. Oh my goodness, not only do you change, but things around you change. Now the spirit is willing, but the flesh is sure enough weak. Because the flesh doesn't want to have an encounter with holiness. But you tell the flesh, let me crucify that and be obedient and do what God's called me to do. I'm going to pray even if I don't feel like it, because the best time to pray is when you don't feel like it. 21 days. This is going to be a stretch for some of us because we've never prayed for 21 days straight. But come on, get in this. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't make excuses. And I want you to ask God, show me what you want me to pray about for these 21 days. Something that has been on me, on my family, hadn't gone away. Show me how to pray about this for 21 days. Because I've been complaining about it for 2 months. 3 months. I might as well pray about it for 3 weeks. And see what God can do. See what God will do. And we're also in the midst of this. The Spirit of God is doing some new things. We've got some people asking, Pastor Chris, we want to start an intercession ministry. There are people out here. You have a gift. One of the spiritual gifts of God is intercession. All of us are supposed to pray. But some of you with that gift of intercession, you really pray. Just like all of us are to give. But some of us have the gift of giving. All of us are to do evangelism, but some of us have the gift of evangelism. Some of us have the gift of intercession. If that's you, I want you to, Pastor Jewel, where are you? Pastor Jewel, there she is. Okay. I want you to go up to Pastor Jewel or to me and say, I want to know more about what is starting to happen with this intercession ministry, Strong Tower. I need people that when I give altar calls, I need an altar team that wants to pray over people and pray for people. And this is resonating with some of y'all's hearts right now because you really love to pray. You really love to stand in the gap with people and for people. And I'm telling you, man, as God is doing this, the things that are going to be done in, from, and through this church are going to not only be miraculous, they're going to be dynamic. But also, there'll be more resistance as we move into this kind of area of prayer persistence. But that don't cause us to quit. No, that's not who we are. Like we said last week, you hit me, I'm hitting you back. I counter in the spirit. Yes, I do. There's a movie coming out Friday, and I need y'all to go see it. It's called The Forge. I don't usually get into Christian movies. Usually a little cheesy. And the budget is usually a rubber band budget. But we went to see it Tuesday in a pre-screening, and I cried. I told everybody Wednesday night Bible study, I cried 4 times. And the last one was an ugly cry that I was holding back. That Florida Evans cry when James died, it was. And movies don't normally get me like that, man. But there are many sub-stories in it that will keep you. But one of the things you can't get away from is that the mother kept praying for her wayward son. Kept praying. And she was ready to choke him a couple times. It's real. But she kept, oh, God, help my son. Won't give it away like I normally do with movies. Y'all remember that? I used to always give movies away. I would go to see a big blockbuster release on Friday and then preach about it Sunday. And then y'all would get mad. Pastor, why you do that, Pastor? But go see this movie, man. It will encourage your heart, especially if you're praying for someone wayward in your life. Well, my 4 siblings and I had a father and mother who persistently prayed for us for 19 years together until my father died in the year 2000. I used to love to hear my father pray. Like Abraham Lincoln talks about remembering the prayers of his mother, like I remember the prayers of my father, the tempo, the tone, how he addressed God, how he even would pray over his food. Like my father was a man of prayer. And when he was getting his first operation to have his leg removed, we were praying for him, but he was telling us in the bed how he was praying for all of us. I never saw anything like that before. He broke down, not because he was about to lose a leg, but he broke down talking about how he prays for each and every one of his children and grandchildren who surrounded his bed. So I come from a legacy of prayer. My dad prayed at our reception. Thank God we have it on tape. And man, I just love to hear him pray. My mother also, prayer warrior. And you put the two of them together, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. They cover each one of their children, all of their grandchildren. And then when my father passed, my mother lived as a widow for 21 years. And her prayer life got richer, stronger, hotter, everything. She would pray for me many a Sundays before I came to minister here at Strong Tower. We would talk on the phone on Saturdays. I'd tell her what I was preaching. She'd shout, give me another sermon of hers, and then pray for me. That was her. She would get so excited about that time to pray, and I don't want to lose it right now thinking about that. But I had a father and mother, so when you combine how long they prayed for me and my siblings, it was 40 years. 40 years. 19 with them together, 21 with just her. And that's one of the reasons me and my four siblings are blessed, because of the prayer. And I thank God for prayer, because they have no expiration date. So them prayers she prayed years ago. My dad, they're still operating. God collects prayers in heaven in golden bowls, man. The prayers of the saints, they come up before him as aroma. So prayer, man, again, that's one of the most powerful things we can do. But I tell you, though, my oldest brother, Harold, definitely needed my mother's prayers, because all of us strayed in our own ways. But he got caught up in a world of drug use that turned into drug addiction that also led to incarceration, where he had this monkey on his back for years, but also he was institutionalized as well, and that limited him whenever he would get out of jail to try to find work, find a place to live. He would end up getting back into corrupt activities, landing back in jail, and there was this cycle with my older brother Harold, this cycle. We would pray for him, we would intercede for him, and then there would be times where he would hurt us. There was one Thanksgiving, I laugh at it now, but back then I wanted to choke him. When his brother came over for Thanksgiving, we turned our head, he was gone, and so was the turkey for Thanksgiving. Because when you had a habit, you would take things, steal things. And so, man, I confess this, I'm ashamed of this. I stopped praying for my brother. I fainted, I gave up. Because it would just be back and forth, forth and back. Oh, man, stay consistent. But guess who did not stop praying? Guess who didn't stop praying? His mother, our mother. She kept praying, she kept praying, she kept praying. And then this last time when my brother had gotten out of prison and was in a halfway house situation, I talked to him and I heard something different in his spirit. I went to Baltimore, got him, brought him back to Tennessee. He lived with Dorena and I for a minute till he could get on his feet. Wanted a minute. Church blessed him with a job. He got an apartment. The church came and helped him with his apartment. So many things started happening as my brother started living his life. Then he got married to a wonderful lady in my living room as I performed the ceremony. But I'm the guy that gave up on him, but I'm walking in something that my mother prayed for and exceeding abundantly, Ephesians 3:20. And that's my dude. He's not here today. He's not feeling well. I had asked him to come share his testimony. He shared it before years ago, but he wasn't feeling well this morning. And I thank God. You know, in the book of Hebrews, when it talks about people with great faith, one of the people that gets categorized there, it talks about women who receive their dead back to life. Women who prayed and God did a miracle, like the widows and the women in the Old Testament. They received their dead, their children back to life. My mother lived long enough to see her prayers come to fruition. And there's somebody out here right now, your mother's been praying for you. And one way you can honor her is to thank her, because you know she's been praying for you. Somebody online listening, you've been out there, but you know your mother has been praying. It's time to stop and come back to God, come back to her, and tell her, just like the prodigal son, I've come to my senses and I'm sorry. Somebody needs to come back to mom. And the best thing you can do is give your life to Jesus. The best thing you could do is repent. The best thing you can do is walk away from wickedness. Mama's praying, so stop doing evil. Mama's praying, so learn to be respectful. Get a job if you don't have one. Keep a job if you do. Stop blaming other people. Leave that woman alone. Leave that man alone. Get sober. Get clean. Get therapy. Take care of your kids. Get well. Get some help. Mama's praying. Can I have every mother in this house stand right now? Every mother, every mother, every mother, every mother, every mother, every mother, would you stand and remain standing? Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for not giving up. We want to pray for you this morning because you're always praying for us. Father God, may these mighty women not grow weary in well-doing. May they reap a harvest because they have chosen not to faint. The Spirit of Christ in them will not let them give up, even though they get tired. They've prayed for us and our children when they were sick themselves. They watched out for us, not only in the spiritual, but also in the natural realm. They made sacrifices. They remained persistent and consistent. Father, I pray you give them the desires of their heart for their children. May they see their prayers come to pass in the land of the living. Father God, in Jesus' name, bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, prop them up on every leaning side. Thank you, Lord, that there's something in our mothers. They just won't give up. Give them fresh oil, fresh joy, fresh hope, fresh power and perspective. Many times, Lord, only you know what our mothers are going through. I thank you, Lord, that you heard my mother's prayers for my brother. And I pray for anyone in this church that has a son or a daughter who has been caught up in drug addiction, who's been caught up in the legal system, that they can look at my brother and others in this body and have hope, knowing that you are no respecter of persons. You don't have any favorites, but you do give favor to all. Bring them out, bring them back. Help every mother with a broken heart to see her children, grandchildren walk with you for real. Lord, I pray for a true renewal and revival to take place because it won't come or happen without prayer. But Lord, just as Moses was on the mountain with his arms stretched out to you, praying for victory for Joshua in the valley, his arms got tired, but he remained persistent because two men came, one on the right and one on the left, and held his arms up. Lord, we hold the arms up of these prayer warriors. We hold the arms up of these mighty women of God. And again, Father, I ask as humbly and as boldly as I can, give them, each one of them, the desires of their heart for their children, their families, and all that they have. Because we're asking this in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen. Can we thank God for our mothers? Can we just thank God for them? And it's not even Mother's Day. It's not even Mother's Day. But we thank God for our mothers. Let's everyone stand and receive the benediction. Everyone stand. Don't forget Wednesday night. If you come into Bible study and you want to eat, go online, get your meal. We'll be here at 6 o'clock. Bible study starts at 6:30. T-shirts are also online. We're going to wear our new T-shirts on Anniversary Sunday, September 8th, but you got to get them ordered so that we can get them pressed and ready by September 1st. Let's be active people, not just listeners, but doers. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask my wife to come up and close us in prayer. Jewel, can you hand me a mic for her? I tell my wife all the time, I say, I had a great mother. But when I watch how you parent our children, love our children, man, Betty Williamson is right here, but honey, woo, girl, woo. And sometimes when the devil can't get the preacher, he'll hit the preacher's wife or the preacher's kids, just like he does with y'all. And we pray for our children together, regularly, continually, persistently. And this woman right here, they're soothed by her. They're encouraged by her. They'll talk to me when, what they want from me? They want most of the stuff from you.
Their cars.
Yeah.
Thank you for that word. Brothers and sisters, bow your heads with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious ways that you comfort us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are called the Comforter. Thank you, God, that you likened your love for us to the love of that mother bird over her nest of babies. Thank you, God, for the gentle ways that you cover us. Thank you that every mother and every person who's in this room, you know their hearts. You know the things that have only been whispered before you, God. Those things that they may not have shared with anyone else. But I thank you, oh Father, that you see every heart. And God, I pray that as we dismiss today, that, Lord, this altar would be open for those who might just need to lay some things down tangibly, might just need that act of, I am surrendering. Lord, for those who may, like Chris, need to ask you, God, to give them the strength to pray again where they have given up. God, we acknowledge, Lord, some of us in our humanity, we have given up. And it's okay for us to acknowledge that, to say, God, I'm tired. I'm tired of coming again. I'm tired because you answered this person's prayer and I'm still waiting, God. So may we come before your altar and acknowledge that if we need to grab the arm of someone near us and say, I'm weak, I'm weary. I want to be like that widow today. I want to keep going. I want to keep petitioning. Lord, if we're that person like the judge who has the power, may we give our power away and defend those who need to be defended, God. Show us how to apply this word today. But thank you that you see us. Thank you that you see about us. And we stand in faith believing those things that we have petitioned you for, that you are the great judge and you are able to answer. We stand in faith believing today.
Yes.
We see the witnesses before us who are a testimony of what you are able to do, God. We believe it today. We believe it. We stand in faith together. Thank you for our brother Yuri as a reminder to us that you are able to heal. God, we thank you for the power of community at church. Lord, when our gaze is low, that you bring us here. And we understand and we see. So thank you for what we have seen today. We go from this place grateful to be in your presence, grateful for one another. We bless you, God, in the name of Jesus. All of God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Have a blessed and wonderful, wonderful day. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, we can do better than that. The altar is open if anyone needs prayer. Monday morning, the devotions are coming to you tomorrow. So hopefully you'll register with Breeze, and we'll see you.